In closing tonight, I want to congratulate our RBCS students here tonight. And I want to congratulate parents that have sent your students to this Christian school. I want to also congratulate church members that have supported these students to go from government schools to Christian school, and not to be in government schools, but to be in a Christian school under the Baptist Church here. I want to congratulate church members that have volunteered to pray for our and help our Christian school and our students to help them stay here and hopefully to graduate with a high school diploma from Revival Baptist Christian School. And so tonight, I want to also ask a question for all of you and for all of our church members and all of our guests tonight. I want to ask a question, and I hope to help to answer that question tonight. And the question is, what makes our Christian school, what makes our school superior to the government schools and universities? That's the question I want to just ask and answer. What makes our school superior to the government schools and universities? And I'm choosing for my text upon which to base the question and the answer, the scripture in Psalm 119, verse 99. The Bible verse from the inspired word of God says this: I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Let me say that one more time. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I want to say, number one, this Christian school is superior to the public government schools because the Bible is our final authority for truth. This inspired psalmist puts it this way, that he says that I have more understanding than all my teachers. He's talking about a superior education, a superior understanding, a superior wisdom. The government schools in the United States of America, by the way, are not allowed to say that the Bible is our highest authority for truth. You know that? When he says, thy testimonies are my meditation, he's talking about the Word of God, the inspired written Word of God. In fact, the teachers in public schools will be fired if they say what I just said. If they say that the Bible is my highest authority for truth, and I proclaim that is the right way for you, they will be fired. They're not allowed to say that. But this Christian school, under this Baptist church, will not fire our teachers for teaching the Bible is our final authority. In fact, that is the exact position of our church, the exact position of this pastor and of the leadership in our church. So once again, the inspired psalmist is telling us here the reason for the superiority of his education over the secular type education and teachers that he's been exposed to. He says it again. He says, for thy testimonies are my meditation. He bases the superiority on his final authority, the Bible. And thank God for you students that you're taught by teachers who say that the Bible is your final authority, who teach you from the Bible, and all the facts of life and science are truly not in contradiction to the Bible. All truth is God's truth, but this is our final authority. And so, thank God for that. It's what makes you superior to the kids going to a public school. It makes you superior. And it makes your education superior. You have to decide if you're going to be superior by following and learning what you've received. So, as soon as you say the Bible is our final authority, because it's the inspired Word of God, you must ask yourself a question. I wonder if you know what question that is. Which Bible? Since there are over 250 English Bibles, which Bible? And a lot of quote-unquote Christians are confused by that question. And I wish to thank God tonight and to congratulate you for sending your student or being a student in a school that believes in the divine, not only inspiration of the original writing of the scripture. A lot of people believe that the Bible is inspired in the original manuscripts, but many of them believe, including you'll see it in the Morris Study Bible that many of us use and other Bible, that there are errors in the translation of the Bible. There are errors. And that's taught. And by many quote-unquote good Christians teach that. There are copyist errors, they say, and so forth. I have a bachelor's degree in theology, a master's degree, and I've been through all of this. And I want to tell you, I disagree firmly with those statements and that teaching. I disagree firmly with those statements and that teaching. Now, here's what we believe. Based on the Bible, it says here in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, it says these words, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Seven is the number for perfection. Amen. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Now, do you know what most of the modern translations, they get rid of the preservation of the very words of God. And they make it the preservation of the people of God, not the words of God. But the people of God are no good without His words. They'll stink like yesterday's manna. It's just no good. And you students will stink like yesterday's manna if you do not have a preserved Bible in every word. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm a student of the Bible. My final authority when I went to college and seminary for a time was scholarship. I felt I was more educated than others. I knew the scholars, and one scholar would say, "This is closest to the original. This is closest to the original." Wait a minute. Were you there when the originals were written? Do you know what's closest to the original? And they have to base it on their best studies and on scholarship. And a lot of times they base it on older manuscripts that were preserved. But the reason they were preserved in Alexandria, Egypt, is because those older manuscripts were not used popularly by the church. And so they didn't wear out and have to be reprinted and translated and so forth. So your oldest manuscripts are not your best necessarily. And they base this on the Alexandria manuscripts and Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and all of that. But they differ. These modern Bibles all depend in whole or in part on these older manuscripts. And they differ in 5,000 or more places. And whole verses are missing. And I'm not going to get into all of that tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, research it. Whole verses are missing. Words are missing. And we need a perfect Bible. Amen. We need a final authority. Not scholarship as our final authority. Not tradition as our final authority. Not experience as our final authority. But the words of God. Amen. And we believe that those words are preserved, and it's not the best translation. Right. It is our final authority for the English-speaking people, and it's the authorized King James Bible. And I really look at this other thing as like an Alexandrian cult that has gained such power. And what is it doing in the United States? How much of an impact is it having in the United States? And all the Bible colleges and so forth that are modern translations. And so I want to say that you do have, I believe, a superior school education because you have a school that's under a church that says our final authority is the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. And let me just say one more thing tonight, and I'll be done. And that is that this Christian school is superior to the public school, not only because the Bible is our final authority for truth, but because the Bible, because we can teach what is a woman and what is a man. We can say that with authority. Now, I know some of you have been watching the video that's going around, and I think the title of it is called What is a Woman? How many have seen that? It's going around. If you haven't seen it, you might want to see it. And our school can give you a link to it. Our secretary can do that. But it's had about 125 million views. And it's a man that goes around to the top educators in the United States. And he goes out west to get the top educators in the United States and to ask them a question. And the question he asked them is, what is a woman? What is a woman? And you would be amazed at these people with doctorates and master's degree and their inability to answer that question. And he's got them on tape. It's amazing. They just stumble and they try to answer and they can't answer that question. And many times they say, okay, we're going to stop the interview right here, because they're offended by the question, what is a woman? But I'm here to tell you that these top educators who are behind the teaching in the government public schools and universities of this country, thank God that though they don't have the answer, we here at Revival Baptist Christian School and your teachers have the answer. What is a woman? Now, the most common answer that I derived from listening to the video was most of these PhDs and others said that if a doctor identifies you as birth as a male based on science, although they don't say that based on science, if the doctor identifies you at birth as a male but you identify yourself as a female, then you're a female. Kind of sounds like every man did that which is right in his own eyes. It's in the book of Judges. Now some of them will kind of give a distinction. They say, well, you're a sexual male, but you are a gender female. They make a distinction between sex and gender. There is no such distinction. Never has been. That's an artificial distinction drawn by educated idiots. And so that is truly not proper. I think of where this college, university, public school education is taking our country. Just by not being able to answer the question, what is a woman and what is a man? Where is it taking our country? Well, you have now what's called transgendered sports. And that means that, for instance, a man is born as a man, biological male, but he identifies as a female. And so with this kind of philosophy that I just gave you by the intelligentsia in the United States today behind our public school education, they say, you know, if you are born a man but you identify as a female, you are qualified to compete in female athletics on the collegiate, intercollegiate level and high school level in many cases. And so these athletes that have worked for hours to shave a little bit of time off of their ability to run a mile and so forth, I have heard the interviews, and now these transgendered athletes get in there, these biological men who are men, and they run and they are 20 meters ahead. I mean, they just took all the awards. And then you have in swimming, quote-unquote, Leah Thomas. I don't know what his real name is on his birth certificate, but at any rate, he calls himself Leah Thomas. He is accepted as a female swimmer, and he's breaking all the records and destroying all the female records and all of their athletics. I mean, when you look at it, you see that children born as biological males are not only doing that, but they are being mutilated medically in hospitals by doctors in the United States without even getting parental consent in most cases. Because of the philosophy. If you have a false education and a false philosophy, it has tremendous harmful effects. And think of what is going on right now, and then women that are born females are being mutilated to try to become males. But wait a minute, since our school is based on the King James Bible, we have an answer, and it's recorded in Genesis 1:27, where it says what God created. He said he created all things, and it says, male and female, he created them. Period. Period. He didn't say male, female, and transgender, he created them. He didn't say male, female, and not a sexual male, but a gender female, he created them. He did not say not a sexual female, but a gender male, he created them, plus male and female. And he did not say male and female and non-binary, he created them. You say, what's non-binary? That's neither male nor female. Thus, the inferior secular schools run by the U.S. government, especially from Washington, D.C., in a top-down educational system, have become not only fools, but harmful to people's lives. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 1 and other places that such an inferior education is not only inferior and foolish and harmful, but that education has led to full-grown males with male organs exposed walking into women's public bathrooms and showers, fully exposed before young girls and ladies. Is it any wonder the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools? And so what makes our Christian school superior to the government schools and universities is that this Christian school has the Bible, the authorized King James Bible, as final authority. And this Christian school is superior because we can teach what a woman is, and by inference, what a man is as well. Now, you say, who is behind the American education system? Who are they looking to? If they're not looking to the King James Bible, and they're not, who are they looking to? Who are their heroes? There's two people. I won't go into it in detail for time purpose tonight, but one is Alfred Kinsey. Alfred Kinsey wanted to rid, and by the way, his pamphleteer for the educated philosophical Alfred Kinsey, who claimed science on his side, his pamphleteer later became Hugh Hefner. But Alfred Kinsey, who wrote the Kinsey Report, he wanted to rid society of a Bible foundation for all things, especially in the area of sexuality. He didn't like the Bible foundation. And this man performed terrible, abusive, torturing experiments on young children and babies younger than 1 year old. And I, for purposes of this audience, will not get into these experiences, but he would make Joseph Mengele smile. He published lies about sex in America, claiming that he was interviewing average American citizens when he was interviewing felons who were sex perverts in prisons and calling it a study of average American citizens. This man is regarded, he should be punished, but he's regarded as a hero amongst these secular colleges and public school educators. There's a second man, and his name is John Money. John Money. John Money was a psychologist at Johns Hopkins University. And Money said that children are born gender neutral, that their gender is only a result of nurture and time spent and how you treat them. And Money took this philosophy and he wanted to prove it. So there were these two twins who were male twins, born young little babies, and they had a problem, one of them in circumcision, and so he decided to take this problem that already happened, and he was going to take it to another level, and he decided he'd get the parents' permission to mutilate these children and prove that you could make these males into females. And that's what he proceeded to do over a period of time, parents consenting. And I won't get into detail about the heinous things that he did to these twins, trying to transition them to be girls. One of the twins, whose name was Bruce, spoke out about the other twin who died of an overdose on drugs and the depression in his life because of what Money did. And then Bruce himself spoke about his maleness and his attempt to try to transition from the mutilation to try to be like a female and to get back into being a male. But it was hopeless for him, and later he committed suicide. John Money, don't forget that name. These people are looked at as heroes of the movement to change gender. All this suffering could be avoided by a simple look at Genesis 1:27 and the word of God, male and female, he created them. And people are being destroyed and they're dying from this folly, and yet they call schools like Revival Baptist Christian School and this principal and pastor and these educators, they would call us transphobic. It's transphobic on the video to say, what is a woman? Even to ask the question, what is truth? I went and talked to a lady who came to our church and professed faith in Christ, and she told me about her teenage girls going up to a school there and somewhere up in the Abingtons or Newton Ransom, and went to that high school. And not only do they have a problem with a woman's bathroom and a man's bathroom, but now they're actually, she told me, I'm going by what she told me, she has daughters, she said they were putting kitty litters in the men's bathroom and in the women's bathroom for students that identify as being furries, animals. You see, God is very clear that man is not like an animal. An animal has a temporary soul that goes to the ground when his body dies. Man has a soul and spirit that lives on. Man is made in the image of God. He's higher than the animals. But that's not what the pantheistic United States, Darwinism, education, Marxist education, and is it any wonder they're teaching Marxism, because it goes along with these things. And so I go back to my conclusion, and that is that what makes our school superior, government schools and universities? Our Christian school is superior because the Bible is our final authority for truth, and because we can teach what is a woman and what is a man. And you know, if that is true, then We can also say, based on the Bible, that we have not only male and female, but we have heaven or hell. And we have a choice. Because God has said clearly in His Word that He became a man. Not a non-binary, not a transgender. He became a man because of the original sin of Adam. And He became a man, lived that perfect life, and died for the disobedience to God's word that every human being is involved in, called sin. He died to take away the sin of the world as an innocent Lamb of God. And if you put your faith in Him, you will go to heaven when you die. If you neglect or reject Him and His good news, you will go to hell. And listen, it's real. It's fire. This man in the video, what is a woman? He would ask the question, you know, what is a woman? And he was given, well, what do you feel it is? What do you feel you are? Do you identify as a woman? Then you're a woman. He said, no, but what is it in point of fact? Not just what I feel. I can feel I'm Santa Claus. It doesn't make me Santa Claus. And these educated fools were saying, well, if you feel it, oh, I can travel at the speed of light and all of this. I'm just saying that whether you feel that there's a heaven or whether you feel that there's a hell or not, it doesn't change the fact. If you stick your finger in a 220 light socket or a 110 light socket, you're going to get a shock. Whether you believe in electricity or not. I've heard of atheists that get fried by climbing too near power lines, and as they're falling off the ladder, they scream out, oh, God! There is a God. There is a Savior. Have you put your faith in Him? If you have, you go to heaven. If you have not, you will go to hell. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray for our students and pray for our school and pray for you.